Well, let's come now before God in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for your Son, the Word of God, our Saviour, the one who is risen from the dead, the one who reigns over all today. We thank you that he reigns over nations and powers, authorities and people. We thank you that it is his kingdom that is growing and that will never end. And we thank you that his kingdom grows through sinners being added to it. We thank you for the lengths your Son went to save people like us. And we thank you today that it is this Jesus, your Son made flesh, crucified, risen, ascended, who is the hope for our world today. We pray that you would help us to better learn how to explain why Jesus is such a glorious Saviour. We're conscious we're in a world that is trapped in darkness, trapped by the deception of its own lies. And we pray that the light and the truth of the Lord Jesus could be seen afresh today. We pray that you would help us and encourage us in this. And we pray that you would draw us together, that we might be a body of your people seeking to serve you, seeking to make the Lord Jesus known in this land and in this region. So help us today. Bless us with the help of your Holy Spirit, that we might understand your word, that we might learn how to live that in our lives. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I'm going to explain our theme for today in a moment, but first, just to say what happens if we can't stay, if there's a fire. If the alarm sounds, we will. I'll stop the meeting, and you can leave through one of the four exits on the sides of the hall here, and you assemble on the road opposite the main entrance. And if that happens while the children's work is running, don't worry, the kids will be out a long time before you. You'll find them outside. Well, what are we here for? If you look at the strapline we have for this conference, equipping Christians to serve in a secular culture. You see, we're in a world that increasingly sees Christians as not only sort of deluded, but dangerous. A world that thinks they know what Christians believe and think they've moved on from that. How do we respond? Well, it's easy to respond maybe by trying to retreat into our own groups, or to maybe reminisce of what we would see as better days in the past. Or maybe we just sort of get angry, get frustrated. But what I want us instead today to do is to remember that the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, was designed for a hostile world like this. After all, what's it about? It's about saving sinners, people in rebellion against God. It's a message for our sort of world. And we can rejoice that we can serve God at such a time as this. But to do that, we need to be equipped. And that is where the 317 comes in. The 317 in the title was partly to distinguish us from all the hundreds of other conferences called Equipped, but because it is a way to remind us of 2 Timothy 3:17. And I'm just going to read for you a few verses from 2 Timothy 3 that gives you the context of that. 2 Timothy 3, verse 14. But as for you, continue in what you have learnt and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learnt it, and how from infancy you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul is telling us there that the Bible has everything that we need to be able to stand and to proclaim Christ in our world today. Last year, John Stevens spoke on why theology matters. If you missed that, you can catch the talks on the website. And the message really was very simple. It was telling us that the more our culture moves away from the Bible, the more our culture is ignorant of the truth about God, the more we, as Christians, need to know it. The better we need to know our Bibles and make sure we know what God is really like. If you like to reach the world with the gospel, we need to be better theologians. And that brings us to the title for this year, because if you like, we're trying to put John's talk into practice, seen how it matters, why it matters. Well, how are we actually going to do that? Well, the title for this year is A Confident Identity. Why that title? Well, maybe best answered by one of our European friends, a Frenchman, John Calvin. He made what I think is one of the most profound statements of theology ever when he said that true wisdom consists in the knowledge of God and the knowledge of ourselves. In other words, the answer to who am I depends crucially on who is God. And that is the subject of Glenn's talks today. And I hope you'll come to see that there is nothing more relevant to the host of complex issues we face today. But secondly, our identity, our theme for today is to see that our identity as Christians is something we can be confident in. So often, I think, if truth be told, we're sometimes a bit embarrassed about what we believe. We're perhaps a bit embarrassed about what God commands us to do. We seem to be in such a minority. Well, I hope today you come to see that there's no need to be embarrassed. As John Benton will explain in our third talk, we may seem to be very weak, we may seem to be swimming against the tide, but we've got every reason to be confident in the God unveiled in the Bible. That's what we're doing. Let me just quickly say who is doing this. The conference today, as I said, is organised by Hope Church Gravesend. We're a tiny little place down in town, a couple of miles north of here, down by the river. We meet in a Victorian chapel right by a giant Sikh temple. And partly because we're small, I think we particularly value our connection with other churches. We're part of the Association of Grace Baptist Churches, and it's their subsidy, really, that enables us to keep the registration for today so low. And Paul Spear, the Association Secretary, will be chairing one of the sessions after lunch. We're also part of a national network, the Fellowship of Independent Evangelical Churches. John Stevens, the director there, spoke for us last year. We're grateful also for the support of the Southeast Gospel Partnership. That's a work that's developing in this region, working at the moment on seeking to provide training resources for churches. And, you know, this conference, if you like, is part of that. It's about providing teaching. But it's also about bringing people together. We want to bring churches together, particularly across this part of the country, because it's a part of the country where gospel witness, I think, is very weak. There's many places without any gospel churches. And our hope is that as we meet together, we are encouraged and gain a vision to see churches strengthened and planted in this region. And finally, we need to understand that needing to know the Bible is something for all ages. That is what our children and young people need as much as anything. What they need most, really, is good theology. And we're so grateful that we have Day One Youth Ministers providing the children's ministry again this year. And that is a crucial part of what we do today. It's not about getting the kids out of the way, occupying them. It's about equipping them. We want them to be equipped too. And I'm just going to ask Terza to come up and introduce that work for today. So, Terza, you work for Day One Youth Ministries. Would you like to just tell us what on earth that is and what you do?
So Day One Youth Ministries is part of Day One. You may have seen some of the books downstairs on the bookstall, which are published by us. But as a kind of broader work, we also have Day One Youth Ministries, which has started 5 years ago. In order to reach out to a new generation. So we do that in kind of through training, in Sunday school teachers going into churches, but also through hopefully helping conferences like this by providing a children's programme that means it's specifically designed for them. And as Stephen's already said, not just to occupy the kids and get them out of the way, but hopefully to teach them and to run something that's a little bit more structured.
And what will the children be learning about today?
So we try as far as possible to kind of keep a little bit in theme with what you're doing in the conference. Sometimes that's harder than others. But what we're looking at today is the relevance and importance of the Bible for children in the 21st century. So we're going to be looking at different things that the Bible says about itself and how that actually relates to them when they're kind of 4 to 11.
And I'm afraid that's just for the children, okay? For the adults, you need to stay up here. You'll get Glenn instead. And I'm going to pray now for the children and the workers. Very grateful for the team of helpers that's come to help Terza as well.
Can I just introduce the team?
No, do, yeah. Please
Sorry.
Do. Yeah.
I just want to introduce you to the team so that if you can't find me and there's any problems, you can find them. I have no idea where they are in here. So hopefully, if they can just stand up wherever you are. Oh, they're all over there, nicely grouped together. So we've got Rachel, Sarah, Josiah and Hannah Faith. So if you can't find me and you've got any queries about the children's work, if you find one of them, if they can't answer it, then hopefully they'll know where I am. But I am very, very grateful to them. They've all volunteered to help and we are very grateful that they've offered to do that because obviously I couldn't do it on my own, child protection and all that malarkey.
That's great. Okay, let me pray now for the children and this work. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus wants children to be his disciples too. And we thank you for this team. We thank you for Terza. And we pray that you would encourage them and help them in this work today. We pray, Lord, that they might come to see the Lord Jesus more clearly, that they might come to understand what an amazing thing your word is, that we hear, that there we find the very words of God. And we pray that you would indeed speak to each of the children today, that they might learn to trust you and to follow you all their days. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing again in a moment, but this is the opportunity now for those with children in, if you've got children booked into the children's program, now's the time to go downstairs and take them down there so that they can be signed in with Terza and the team. And while the parents are going down doing that, it's a chance for us here to greet one another. It's actually a New Testament command to greet God's people. And the great thing about a conference is that we are here together, our bodies are here. It's much better than something electronic. We can meet people in person. So let's take this chance to just say hello to some of the people around you, and in a few minutes we'll sing another song. Well, can I say thank you at this point to all the musicians who've come from Caterham Baptist Church today, church where I got married. Very grateful for their help and support in this. Now I'm going to ask Glenn to come up now, and I'm going to introduce him to you before he comes to speak to us this morning. Now, Glenn, am I correct in saying that you're an immigrant with a criminal background and that your status here will be unaffected by Brexit?
How dare you? welcome. Thank you. Yes, I'm from Australia, and yes, on June the 23rd, with a heavy heart, I actually voted for Australia to leave the Eurovision contest. don't really think we have a place there, but yes, so I'm Australian, and I've survived one move to deport me. Actually, I was required to leave this country at short notice a few years ago, but I'm back because I'm married to Emma, so I've got the green card, so it's all good.
And you work for Speak Life. Mm-hmm. In fact, you're the director of that, whatever that means. Did you want to tell us what is Speak Life and what do you do?
So Speak Life used to be known as the Hour of Revival Evangelistic Association, and some of you might know us. Some of you might have been receiving for a while a thing called the International Prayer Daily Prayer Bulletin. Do some people, yes, I've got a couple of people receive this. It's now called the Speak Life Daily. We've got copies of it on the back, and that just tells lots of stories about the good news going around the world. But we really were founded by Eric Hutchings in 1952 as an evangelistic charity seeking to make Jesus known, and we're trying to do that today through preaching the gospel, through training Christians in evangelism, and through producing evangelistic resources. So those are the three areas we kind of work in. Yes, my boss retired last year, and we sort of looked around, and I'm it for the minute in terms of director. Yeah,
that's great. You've already mentioned Emma. Who else have you left at home today, and what are they up to?
So Emma and Ruby, our 18-month-old daughter, and they are, well, my wife, you're going to say a little bit about my wife in a second. Everywhere I go.
Well, I think you better talk about her.
Maybe I should. Yeah. I might know a little bit more. But my wife, everywhere I go, I sort of say, people say, oh, you're Glenn Scrivener. I love your wife's book. And I'm like, well, I've also got it. Never mind. And she is brilliant. She wrestled with life-threatening anorexia both as a teenager and as an adult, and she writes about it very well in this book, A New Name, which, don't be put off by the fact that it says Grace and Healing for Anorexia on the cover. Actually, lots of people have read this and said, I've never struggled with eating in my life, but Emma tells my story. It's really a Christian testimony about how Jesus meets us in the darkness, and it communicates with people who struggle in all sorts of different areas. So Emma really has a ministry around strugglers in the Christian life, and today she really is wrestling through with somebody who's struggling in Eastbourne, and you can pray for somebody called N. Just pray for N today. So Emma and Ruby are dealing with social services and hospitals and recovery centres and things like that. So that's what Emma's up to today. But that's kind of what she gets up to a lot of her life, actually.
And I'll just echo what Glenn has said, that this really is a work of applied theology at its best. It's really putting into practice, actually, what Glenn is going to be talking about in his talks today. Now, in your information booklet, there is a handout that goes with Glenn's talks today. And if you have questions that come up from what Glenn is saying, there's cards on your seats. Oh, there's some more at the back. There's a box, two boxes of questions at the back. Write them down there. We will have an extra question time to last year. We're going to have a little extra question time at the beginning of the second session and also the third session. I'm going to pray for Glenn now, and then I'll hand over to him.